At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 227 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this time out to preview the Bahrain Grand Prix. And I think it's safe to say, after just 3 races of 2025, it already feels like Bahrain is a little bit do or die. Because, Jamie, the last couple of races have been a little bit terrible.
Yeah, it's been a good narrative type season. But so far, we haven't had the blockbuster races, other than Melbourne, but that was obviously wet. So, caveat on that. But the 2 dry Grand Prix so far have really not delivered. And they're, especially China, is kind of a track you kind of hope for better for. Although, why? It's not done a good race in a few years now, has it? I mean, it was off the calendar for 5. But even before that, 2016, 17, was maybe the last time it delivered something.
So 2018 was decent, but obviously with the safety car, Ricciardo taking the win.
Yeah, but Bahrain is a good track. We know it can produce racing, has done in the past. The teams know it very well. Tyre deg should be a thing, hopefully. Because I can't believe I'm saying that, but yeah, Japan especially, there was no difference in the tyres, and they weren't wearing at all. So like, there was no undercut strategy attempts. There was no variation between the hard and medium. So we need Bahrain to be good. Otherwise, the hope will just be decreasing as we go.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, Japan was a little bit of a perfect storm. I mean, obviously, again, we've said before, you know, the cars are not suited for a circuit like Suzuka, sadly, anymore. I still think they need DRS into 130R. But, of course, it was also the issue of drivers just could not get enough temperature. They could get the tyres up to temperature, but you could just couldn't even risk overheating them. Which, I guess, in one way, does kind of prove that kind of this idea that people want just zero deg, isn't actually going to fix the problems either. I know kind of people have said, oh, the tyres aren't durable enough. People are having to nurse them. But clearly this weekend showcases. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not always how it works, but clearly this weekend as well shows that actually that is not the fix-all solution either.
No, and you look at, take it back a few years, like 2010, we had Bridgestones that barely had any difference. They were slicks. They got rid of refueling and kind of forgot that got rid of all strategy. So you had one stop a race, tire difference was nothing, and there was like barely any strategy variation at all. And then you come to 2011 and they've got Pirellis and they've been asked to make 2 to 4 stops a race. Sometimes they got it a bit wrong and we had way too many tire problems, but variation in strategy has to come from the tires when there's no refueling. So we need the tires to be on the edge. And that can go too far, and it can go not far enough, and it must be a really difficult job to get it right. But someone's paid a lot of money to get that right, and right now it's not quite there.
Yeah, exactly. And I must admit, I don't envy the person that's choice it is to do that. I still think what they should do is you just have to pick 3 sets of the Pirelli range for a weekend, and that's what you've got to use. That could be quite
interesting.
I worry
then they would all play it quite conservatively in terms of they would just go the hardest they can at a deg limited circuit. So at Bahrain, for instance, I think we're on a 2 to 4 range.
Yeah.
But the teams would prefer to have 3 to 5 because they know that they can just do a full race on the C5.
But
the
surely
around,
then,
you know what I mean?
Surely then, if you're a lower down team, you think, well, I'll take a punt and take some softer tyres with me.
Well, true. I guess it would be a bit more varied. And the teams do select their distribution of tyres, so like
exactly,
they choose how many soft, medium, hards they get. So why not? That might be all right. Even if you give a range of 4 and you can choose 3 different types of the 4 or something like that to stop anyone going for the softest at a track where it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, I think I've just fixed Formula One right there and then literally off the top of my head. This will be fantastic. I'm gonna patent that, didn't you say?
Yeah, and sell it to Liberty.
Fair enough. I'm going to have to make my own tyres now as well for the sport and everything else.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, Bahrain, though, like we said, you know, this track, often, like we say, usually actually delivers some good racing. Sometimes that has also been helped by the fact it's the first race of the season. And obviously we normally kind of, the first race of the season is always a little bit more of a step into the unknown for a lot of the teams. But, I mean, Jamie and I were writing up notes for this week's show. And not a lot has really changed since Japan since has there either.
No.
We have got a couple of storylines, haven't we? Of course, obviously, with Formula 2 and Formula 3 being back, we've got six rookies in for FP1 because, of course, obviously, it's a track that all the drivers should know from winter testing, so it's a good chance to get your rookies in, you know, get them out of the way early on in the season. Jamie, just for the viewers, can you name all six for me?
I literally just looked at it, so I should get most of these. So Luke Browning's at Williams.
Correct.
This is going to sound awful. Ryo Hirakawa. Is at Haas again. He was at Japan too.
No, he was in Alpine at Japan. He already announced he was leaving Alpine beforehand, yet they still gave him the seat for free practice.
Wow.
But of course, he's a Toyota driver, so he was always going to go to Haas anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Fred Vesti is at Mercedes. Felipe Drugovic is at Aston Martin. Dino Boganovic, your favourite for third place in the F2 or something?
My favourite for third place.
is in the Ferrari. And Ayumu Owasa, is it not a Red Bull?
Yes, yeah, perfect. There we
go. Is that my quiz? I'm already 100%. You
know
that's
what? Not your quiz, Sammy. Your quiz will come later on in the show, sir. You do not need to worry about that.
I didn't look who Drugovic is replacing, but I assume Alonso.
I would guess. Well, to be fair, Lance has been your stronger driver this year. Alonso needs the time in the car, doesn't he?
I would quite like to see Drugovic versus Stroll, even if it's just practice times, because that could be closer.
Well, they did that last year in post-season testing, didn't they?
They did.
And Drugovic was faster.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, just it's. I say, being a reserve driver in that team at the moment feels completely pointless. Especially when you think Stroll's locked in for life. You've got Alonso currently, and the man that apparently might replace him is Max Verstappen. If you're an Aston Martin junior, you've just got to think there's no hope ever of getting that drive.
I guess he's got to be patient. I hope something strange happens. But
yes, exactly. Of course, the other kind of big news heading to this weekend, because normally teams will wait till the start of the European leg, isn't it? But Ferrari, you're rushing some upgrades to this weekend.
They are. Leclerc didn't say which parts. He was just quoted as saying, we've got some new parts on the car. So we're not going to pretend we know what we're talking about of aerodynamics and car design this week. But Ferrari do have some upgrades, which could bring them into the fight. But that might be a little optimistic.
Hopefully. Well, I'm going to pretend that I know a bit about aerodynamics, Jamie, because I was reading an interview with Hamilton earlier on today as well. Ferrari, I think, and I could still be completely wrong, but it might have something to do with the front wing. Because what Ferrari found in Shanghai was after Leclerc lost some of his wing, the balance on the car was better, which is slightly alarming.
Yes. And that, you know, there are probably many millions of, well, maybe not millions, hundreds of thousands of pounds are going into making that front wing. And you break it off and it goes faster. Strange. Very strange. But that's Ferrari, isn't it?
Yeah, and Hamilton, I think, as well, is meant to be getting a new floor this weekend because they found issues with
that's
the old
good,
one.
Because didn't you get disqualified for a wear-related floor issue, or was that Leclerc? I lose track of who got disqualified.
That was Hamilton. Leclerc was underweight, wasn't he?
Yes, you are.
But it
right,
was at Japan.
Exactly.
They thought they found something wrong with Lewis's floor, but obviously couldn't do anything with it. But, I mean, it's very, very early. Obviously, especially during a triple header, very, very early on in the year to obviously be trying to bring upgrades like that. Like we said, normally teams wait for the European leg. But I guess when the European leg is near enough a third of the way into the championship, you can't really afford to anymore. It's not like it's round two or three like it used to be.
The other thing is, in terms of logistics and supply chain, which is my profession these days.
Is it?
Well, I'm a supply chain manager. Well, I'm not.
Well, internationally.
Not international. Well, sometimes we source from abroad.
You deal in Scotland as well, do you?
But they probably all of the parts they'll treat like the first leg of this triple header different from the second legs, other than that maybe the chassis themselves. But like all of the stuff that they get shipped, they will just have two sets. So there will be a set for China and Japan, and there'll be a set for Bahrain and Jeddah. So that's why they can kind of look at Bahrain for upgrades, because they didn't need to take them to Japan. So this will be like a good hop-on point for anything.
Yeah, Yeah, and I guess obviously Bahrain is not that far away in our modern connected world, is it?
No, exactly.
From obviously Europe and obviously Italy, especially not too far a distance to travel. Other storylines I think we need to discuss, Jamie. Of course, Yuki Tsunoda back in the Red Bull for another weekend. Do we think, obviously, this is a track that he's got a fair amount of experience at. Obviously, Suzuka should have been as well. But are we thinking maybe this weekend could be better?
I think he might score a point or two.
Ooh.
The thing is, for Yuki, he was actually quite unlucky in Q2, I thought, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously that ruins your weekend when you can't overtake at a track. But he made a mistake on his last Q2 run, and that was that. I think with Lawson in the first two races... He never really looked like getting out of Q1. Like, whereas Tsunoda, you can make an argument where, like, okay, the pace is there, he just messed it up.
And he, yeah, and he proved that pace in Q1 as well, didn't he? Because he ended up, I think he was 8th in Q1.
Exactly.
In Suzuka. So there clearly was, he definitely looks far more at home in that car than Lawson did.
Yeah,
which I think
and
is
that's
a good
5 years experience versus 11 races. So,
Yeah. I think also, though, Red Bull have found... I'm not saying it's like a save all, but I think they've found something with that setup as well as Suzuka to make the car more balanced.
Yeah, to go from 4th and, 40 seconds off the win in China to, like, winning. Obviously, I think a lot of it was down to Max, but they were going to finish 3rd at worst.
Yeah, exactly. And a comfortable 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Tsunoda should sneak into the points. I don't think he'll get... much into the top 7, but we'll see. I hope for his sake it's a clean weekend, because if, you know, say he has a problem in Q1 or something, suddenly you're back in Lawson's situation where you've had 2 bad races in a row. It's like, how long are you going to get? But you never know with Red Bull. I think he'll get Jeddah, but we'll see.
Yeah, you have to give him Jeddah as well, surely. You don't want to change him halfway through a triple header. Let's take this hypothetical then, quickly.
Okay.
Tsunoda doesn't perform in Bahrain and Jeddah, out in Q1 or Q2, finishes P13. What do you think Red Bull do then? Is it Hadjar get to go?
You've got to just stick with it, haven't you? I think the only way Hadjar would be pushed in is if, like, he's suddenly qualifying 6th, 7th, finishing...
Not like he did last weekend.
Well, yeah, if he has 2 more races where he's best at rest... And Tsunoda has 2 stinkers. You're like, well, what's the worst that can happen? But the worst that can happen is you kill another driver's career before it takes off. So bring back Perez. Why not? If you're going to just throw anyone in there, David Coulthard's not doing a job at the moment. It just feels a bit totally mismanaged, as we've said many times. I don't think that will be the case, because I do think Tsunoda will pick up a little bit. And I'd like to think if he gets 1 point, it will kind of kick on from there.
Yeah, and I think even then it just kind of gives them a bit of justification, doesn't it, as well, to kind of keep him in the seat a bit longer if he can start. Like I said, even if it's literally a P9, a P10, something like that. But you got to think at some point, especially if that V-carb does still look good over the next couple of weekends, at what point are those 3 drivers all wanting the V-carb, not the Red Bull?
Yeah.
It's just going to be Max in a Red Bull and the other 3 down at V-carb. It'd be fantastic.
I mean... I guess the cars, are there rules to say they have the 2 Red Bull cars have to be the same?
But the thing is, of course, you have to then prove that Red Bull have developed their own V-carb for certain parts on the car.
That would be quite hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be.
I was going to say they could just give a Red Bull liveried V-carb to Tsunoda.
Yeah,
and no one would know, and he'd be qualifying 7th like he was in China.
Exactly. Fantastic. You say, obviously, Red Bull were the reason these rules now exist for when they did just bring 4 Red Bulls.
one powered by Ferrari. Yeah, that was quicker.
I believe, Jamie, that was 2006, which actually accidentally takes us beautifully into this week's quiz.
Oh, great. Well,
The 2006 Bahrain Grand Prix obviously the third... No, sorry, it was the first race of the 2006 season. Which, of course, obviously, it was the first time Bahrain was the season opener. Of course, now we've kind of got used to it being the season opener, so I've kind of tried to invert it. Your job is simple. You have to... You've got 90 seconds to name me as many drivers as you can who were on the grid for that race. Your time starts now.
Okay, Schumacher, Massa,
yes.
Alonso, Fisichella,
yes.
Raikkonen, Montoya,
yes.
Weber, Rosberg,
Yes.
Coulthard Kleen?
Yes.
Well, Lietzi Speed.
Yes.
Button Barrichello.
Yes.
There was like Super Aguri. Sato and Davidson.
Incorrect.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
You got one of
okay.
them.
Okay. Sato and... I'm going to move on. Montagny, Albers,
Sutil. Albers, right? Montagny wasn't there.
Ide, Yuji Ide.
Wasn't there. Yuji Ide was there, yes.
06, come on. Heidfeld Kubica. No, Heidfeld Villeneuve, sorry. Kubica came later.
Villeneuve...
He was
yes.
there.
Yeah.
Who else? Oh, Toyota. Glock. No, Trulli and Ralf Schumacher.
Yes, 21 out of 22.
The other Super Aguri driver.
Nope, you got to both Super Aguris.
Oh, Sartre. No, Jordan. No, Midland. Who is it? Alves.
Four, three, two, one. Oh, it's over. So close.
Who was? Is it? It wasn't Yamamoto, was it? Or
it
like
wasn't
that.
Yamamoto. It
they
wasn't.
They had like
Montagny.
Five drivers that year. The Portuguese one. What was his name?
The Portuguese
Montero.
One. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that was.
21 they had like, out of 20.
I swear they had about five drivers that year. I think
I
right.
don't know because the only thing I can remember from that year was obviously because I now play F1 06 Championship Edition. I think 2006 they did only have the two drivers. Yeah, they only had the two drivers all year.
Was it 07 then? They had about 16 because Winklehock drove.
07, Yamamoto yeah, it was Spiker.
Yeah. Because Christian Albers just got sacked after crashing into his teammate mid-season. That was quite funny.
Well, I'm surprised you almost forgot Ide because, of course, he's the only ever F1 driver to get his super license revoked.
Yeah.
2007, Spiker had Sutil, Albers, Winklehock, and Yamamoto in the car.
Wow. There we go. That was all right. I'm happy with that.
Good man. I'm happy. Good man. 21 out of 22. That is very good going. I thought that should be a hopefully fairly easy but fun quiz for you this week.
Yeah. I tell you what, a lot of driver changes that year because I was thinking like late season teams and they were all different. There was no Kubica, no De La Rosa. Like they all just changed mid-season.
Yeah, that there was throughout 27 drivers
Glock as
throughout
well. Yeah.
That season. Which, cause, I mean, there's 22 seats. That's not completely unbelievable.
No.
But certainly a high turnover. I can't get over the fact as well, Robert Kubica, the only points he scored that year was that podium at Monza.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. Overrated, Robbie. I'm gonna lose all of our Polish supporters here. But Robert Kubica might genuinely be like a very good driver, but might be one of the most overhyped ones in recent memories.
He's good, but he was never going to be a multiple world champion, like some people make out. Nick Heidfeld was as good, is the thing. It's just Kubica's better season
was
when
better.
The car was the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Heidfeld was better in 07 and 09.
Yeah, so. I think we've definitely gone on a bit of a ramble there, haven't
Goodbye,
we?
Goodbye, all of our Polish viewers.
We're sorry to all the Poles out there. We do still love Kubica, and his comeback story is fantastic, but you guys might just overrate him slightly. What else have we got to discuss, Jamie? Ready for Bahrain?
I mean, we recorded on Monday night, and it's now Thursday evening. Not much
yes.
has really happened.
Yeah, so we haven't able to do anything about FP1 and FP2 because it's Thursday when we're recording this. Obviously, this episode will go out live on Friday afternoon. Predictions? Do you want to do those quickly?
Sure. You can go first because I'm winning. I don't.
What
I
are the
scores
on the
my
doors right
gonna
now?
My camera's going to stop if I try and get my. Oh no, it's working. I can have a look. It is. 11-5.
Oh, that's bad so far. I'm going to have to go fairly basic.
I don't know if I updated that, but regardless.
I'm pretty certain you did. There's no way you would have scored 11 points from two races, because neither of us have done very well so far.
True.
I'm going to be really boring again then. I'm going to say Lando Norris. I'm going to say Oscar Piastri. I'm going to say... Sorry, Lando for pole. Lando to win, Oscar, And you know what? I'm going to be really stupid and put some faith in Ferrari. I'm going to say Hamilton P3. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, thinking back to pre-season, there was a lot of panic around Red Bull, wasn't there?
And Ferrari, everyone thought Ferrari was going to be world champions.
True. That is very true. I will say, I just do think Norris will get pole is the problem.
But it's almost a too unknown quantity, isn't it?
I will go Norris on pole.
Okay.
But
so you're
I
same
will go as Piastri me. To win the race.
Okay.
I don't know how, maybe a better start. I will go Norris second and Verstappen third.
Okay. Okay.
That's
very boring. Very boring.
Yeah. Who do you think needs to do better from the first few races of the season?
We're going to do drivers under pressure. Doohan, obviously, still.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Carlos Sainz. I don't believe he scored a point yet, has he? And Albon scored in all three races. Did he score a point in Shanghai, did he?
That was because of the disqualifications.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Carlos Sainz needs to get his act together. And my third pick, I'm not going to say Tsunoda because I think that's too obvious. Although then again, I did say Doohan. I am going to say Liam Lawson needs to get the better of Isaac Hadjar this weekend. Neither of them have driven Bahrain. He's had a week to settle back in. He's got to beat Hadjar. Otherwise, he might be on the ropes.
That is good. Yeah, I am going to agree with you, Jack Doohan. I don't think there's much he can do at this point.
Beat Gasly?
Yeah, I guess. But he's had such a rough start, hasn't he? In terms of, it looks, the pace has actually been all right. I think people were worried about the pace of Jack Doohan, but his speed in the car has been okay. It's just been like littered with little mistakes and problems here and there. So, or big mistakes, as we saw in Japan in FP1.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that's been such a high-profile incident, hasn't it? Because a free practice crash normally isn't that big a deal.
No, but it was the fact it was pure error, I think. Because if you can... Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely think the worst thing about that was the fact that he said about it afterwards, like that he tried to do it in the sim. I just would not admit that.
No. And it looks really weak, doesn't it, when you had to... He asked his engineers, like, why didn't the DRS shut? And they were like, well, it's your fault. Yeah. And then he went to the media. It's like, what are you doing?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would also say doing... I will say... It is quite hard, actually, because... The likes of the Haas drivers, shout out to Ollie Bearman, I think he did last week. He's doing really well. I think it's 2-1 against Ocon in quali.
It should be 3-0. Should be. Yeah. It's not, but it should be. So Ocon definitely needs to try and get his act together.
But then Ocon's also got a fifth place to fall back on, so he's not really under any pressure.
Yeah, exactly. It's bizarre, isn't it? The fact that Ollie Bearman has done more races for Haas than a driver with like 7 years experience as a rookie. He's the only rookie that's come in with more experience than his teammate than that team.
Yeah. I will also... I think you're bang on about Liam Lawson. I think he probably went back into V-Cup thinking, right, I've edged Tsunoda out last year, even though he didn't, but Red Bull said he did, so what does it matter? And Hadjar smashed it in Japan, so Lawson's really got to at least be with him and not be... it was on a bad strategy, but still out-qualified and out-raced by Isaac Hadjar last time. And I think, I mean, the Saabers, Hulk's getting the edge of Borsaletto, but that's expected, I think.
Not in qualifying. Oh, no, he did in Japan. Yeah, he did.
I think Aston Martin are about where they thought they would be.
Last, by the only driver to get lapped last weekend.
Really?
He was the only driver to get
lapped. Yeah, but Stroll's got points in the first two, so he's like, Alonso's not under pressure, is he, realistically?
No.
I'll actually go for Lewis Hamilton. He's under a little bit of pressure.
Okay.
Despite having that win, I think he's okay for the win in China sprint, but he's not done a lot other than that, has he? And he's been, is it 3-0 to Leclerc in quali and race?
Obviously, they
both got disqualified, one of them, so it didn't really matter. But I'm pretty sure it's 3-0, certainly in qualifying.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been in the race, should it? Because obviously Lewis should have beaten him in Australia.
Yeah.
But of course, obviously Leclerc absolutely screwed him over twice. but I believe, it is 3-0,
So yeah, Lewis needs to get a little nose in front, despite having that win, obviously. I'm sure he's happy about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, No, it's fair. I think, it's definitely been a beat, and I think with all the eyes on him, hasn't it? Like, that sprint in Shanghai was a bit of a fairy tale.
Especially,
as well.
Yeah.
But I think what that does show is that Lewis is capable of it in that
definitely.
Team.
And no one doubts that. But the narrative coming into the season was all about Lewis Hamilton, realistically. Especially the more mainstream media was all about, what's Hamilton going to do at Ferrari? The layman watching from the outside and seeing the headlines is like, why is Hamilton in sixth behind qualifying behind V-Cup? So what is this? What is a V-Cup?
Yeah. Probably I still think my call at the start of the year is on. That Leclerc will go at least 16-8 in qualifying, but Hamilton will outscore him.
Well, Hamilton's ahead in the championship, is he not? Because of that 8-point win?
No, I don't think so, is he?
Maybe not.
I think Leclerc might still be ahead. I can't remember. It says
it would definitely be close. Yeah, I don't really look below. I don't look below second place. That's where my driver is.
Oh no, Hamilton is still ahead. Sorry, yeah. Wait, no, he's not. Sorry, ignore me. I can't read. Leclerc's on 20 points. Hamilton's on 15.
Fair.
That is such a weird standings when you look down it, man. It's so odd.
Yeah. Yeah, because Hulk and Ocon and Stroll are still kicking around like the fringes of the top 10, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Alex Albon in seventh. That's mad.
Yeah.
I love
he's doing
to see
bits.
That. I mean, Williams are still fifth. That's a huge amount of prize money at the end of the year if they can hold off ahead of Aston and Haas.
And you don't see why not. They've definitely got a faster car than Aston and Haas, haven't they?
Well, I think, honestly, at the moment, you're still looking at V-Carb in that fight. That could genuinely be a mad fight this year that I hope plays out.
Hopefully. It gives us something to watch, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Alpine still haven't scored despite never having the slowest car is staggering.
Yeah. Unlucky. Unlucky stuff.
Have we got anything else about Jamie? I think we've done pretty well there, haven't we?
I think we've done all right. Bit rambly, but not a lot to go over, so you'll have to forgive us.
Exactly. Let us know.
Also,
your
hang on. Oh, one more
on.
Thing. I was.
Here we go.
You didn't notice it, but I read the comments. I accidentally called Bernie Sanders the KFC guy in last week's
did you?
Podcast.
I thought you were referring to the politician.
Well, Bernie Sanders is the politician.
I know he is. That's what I
KFC
thought you accidentally got muddled up with.
I did. And then I also got him muddled up with Colonel Sanders, who's the mascot of KFC. So I apologise to
anyone. He's not even the mascot. He's the guy that invented it.
Well, now he's the logo, isn't he? You know what I mean. Yeah.
Dear me. I am
aware that Bernie Sanders is not on the KFC logo. As of
Deary
an hour ago.
Me. Deary me. That is so funny. So funny. Well, with Jamie proving once again that he has got an IQ of more than 3, thank you all so much for watching. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like, get yourself subscribed, let us know your predictions, ready for the Bahrain Grand Prix as well. And yeah, Jamie and I will be back hopefully Monday or Tuesday, where hopefully we've had a bit of a better race to talk about. Fingers crossed.